It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Billions of dollars in tax credits from the Affordable Care Act are set to expire at the end of the year. Without them, health insurance premiums for Wisconsin families are projected to spike by hundreds of dollars per month, leaving some people unable to afford coverage.
The issue is holding up negotiations in the U.S. Senate over a stopgap funding bill that would prevent a government shutdown come Wednesday.
Last week, Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin told WLUK-TV in Green Bay that the tax credits need to get extended now to prevent lost coverage.
People are getting their notices about their premiums going up right now. If we don't extend these, there's going to be havoc in the market, not just the Affordable Care Act marketplace, but throughout the country, the employer-sponsored health marketplace.
We're checking in on the latest movement in the Senate and the potential impacts on Wisconsin healthcare that will come out of these negotiations. Julie Rovner is chief Washington correspondent for KFF Health News and host of the weekly health policy podcast called What the Health. Julie, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
Remind us what these tax credits do from the Affordable Care Act first and who benefits from them.
So under the Affordable Care Act, as it originally passed, the tax credits are to help people with mostly lower incomes, but lower and middle incomes up to 400% of poverty. That's about $100,000 for a family of two, afford their insurance. So it offsets some of the cost of the premiums for lower income people under 150% of poverty. It also offsets some of their out-of-pocket costs. In 2021, during COVID, Congress expanded the subsidies pretty dramatically, basically made health insurance premiums free for people under 150% of poverty, and expanded them up the income scale so that people over 400% of poverty wouldn't have to pay more than 8.5% of their income towards their premiums. Because if you're older, your premiums are higher. And so if you're older and your income is just a little bit over that threshold, you had many thousands of dollars in premiums. And that has been dramatically reduced. And as a result of these enhanced premiums, enrollment in the marketplaces that sell this coverage, the Affordable Care Act coverage, has doubled to about 24 million. So most of these people would be affected if these enhanced premium subsidies are allowed to expire at the end of the year.
And if they are allowed to expire at the end of the year, what are some of the consequences? And talk about the effects if that should happen.
That's right. Well, even the insurers have estimated that they'll have to raise premiums because so many people will no longer be allowed to will no longer be able to afford their coverage, that they'll drop coverage altogether. And they estimate that the healthy people are the ones who are most likely to drop that coverage because they can't afford it and they don't need it. The sicker people who desperately need it may try to, you know, hang on to the coverage even if it's more expensive. So that's one of the things that will increase premiums. We're seeing an increase in medical costs in part due to tariffs and due to other policy changes. So there's really a concern that many people will lose their health insurance if these expanded premium credits expire. And at this point, unless Congress acts, they will expire.
Well, let's talk about Capitol Hill, because open enrollment starts November 1st. Republicans say, don't worry, subsidies won't end until the end of the year. There's time. Democrats are saying, no, we need to do something now because end of the year will be here, you know, before we know it. Planning and budgeting for healthcare, that also takes time. You know, the government shutdown aside, is there a time squeeze here for the federal government to figure out these subsidies?
Yes. Well, there's a time squeeze for the insurance companies to set their final premiums. As Senator Baldwin pointed out, people are already starting to get notices of how much their premiums could increase starting next year. Open enrollment, which is shorter this year, starts November 1st. So really, we're in the next couple of weeks, everything has to be buttoned down. And at this point, it is not.
Well, and Senator Baldwin also expressed that not extending the premium subsidies could also wreak havoc on employer-sponsored healthcare premiums. How so? Can you make that connection?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we are seeing employer premiums go up in general. Again, there's a concern that if people no longer have their insurance, that they're going to end up in the emergency room when they're sick. That cost is going to have to be passed along to someone. Among others, it gets passed along to people with employer-provided insurance and other types of private insurance. So it basically increases health costs for everyone. So even if you're not immediately affected by this, you're immediately affected by this, as long as you have health insurance.
Julie, you know, take us back in the day. When the Affordable Care Act was passed, were these subsidies, these tax credits, meant to be temporary? Why do they have an expiration date?
No, they were not. I should repeat that the tax credits don't go away entirely. They just revert to what they were originally when the Affordable Care Act passed. What we discovered, though, is there was all this fight about, you know, should people be mandated to buy insurance? And, you know, really, sort of everybody discovered that what made people want to buy insurance was being able to afford it. And when they made the tax credits bigger, lots more people bought insurance. So when they make the tax credits smaller again, lots fewer people will buy insurance. And in the meantime, healthcare costs and thus insurance costs have gone up even more. So insurance that perhaps was affordable in 2015 or 2016 isn't going to be affordable now as the cost of everything else goes up. So basically, you know, what Congress is coming to terms with is that it was great to have these subsidies in the original bill. They just weren't really big enough.
We're talking with KFF Health News Chief Washington Correspondent Julie Rovner as we look at what's at stake for health care with the U.S. Senate negotiating Affordable Care Act tax credits in this stopgap funding bill, government shutdown that could occur on Wednesday. Let's talk more about the issues between Democrats and Republicans here. What is the Republican opposition to continuing these tax credits? What's the argument?
Well, you know, the big budget bill that Congress passed in June actually made a lot of changes to the Affordable Care Act. It was not advertised as a let's repeal the ACA, which they tried and failed to do in 2017, but they did a lot of things that are going to make it harder for people to get coverage, harder for people to continue their coverage, fewer people are now going to be eligible for subsidized coverage. So there were a lot of changes. There's still a lot of Republicans that would like to see the Affordable Care Act, if not go away entirely, then work a lot less well than it works now. On the other hand, there are also a lot of Republicans who realize that their own constituents are about to see these eye-popping increases in their premiums, and they're not going to be happy about it. And particularly in some of these redder states that didn't expand Medicaid, people between 100 and 138% of poverty have not been eligible for anything except these tax credits. So if they go away, those people are going to be unhappy. So there's a lot of Republicans who have a lot of disquiet, if you will, about letting these tax credits expire. So there's a division within the Republican Party about whether or not to continue them.
And on the other side of the aisle, why are Democrats tying the tax credits to the stopgap government funding bill? Couldn't they fund the government and then negotiate the subsidies separately?
They could, but they've pointed out that time is running out, that really, I mean, this should have, if these subsidies were going to be expanded, it should have happened weeks ago. We've already seen most of these insurers, you know, file their rates with the state. They can change them up to a point, but there really is a time crunch on this. And plus, Democrats wanted to make the point, I think, just for public relations that, you know, while Congress is sort of sitting around stewing, this is going away and healthcare is important to people and Congress is not dealing with it.
Do you think that Democrats will be willing to let the government shut down over this issue? What are you hearing?
It certainly looks that way. Strange things happen right on the eve of a shutdown. We are now, you know, a day and a half away from this happening. There's a White House meeting this afternoon. There was supposed to be a White House meeting last week. It got canceled. I honestly, you know, we're in very unprecedented times. Normally, if there was what we call a clean CR, like let's just extend funding for 7 weeks while we continue to negotiate, that would usually be okay with both sides. But the Republicans this year, this Trump administration, has been cutting funding unilaterally that's being fought about in the courts and fought about at the Supreme Court. The Democrats are afraid of cutting a deal that the Trump administration basically won't keep. So there's an element of nobody quite knows what's going to happen. to add to the nobody quite knows what's going to happen.
So is this an all or nothing negotiation, or is there a possibility that a partial or altered version of the credits could get extended instead?
Oh, there's definitely a possibility that, you know, they could extend them, you know, for 1 year. They could, I mean, there are a lot of opportunities. They could reach some sort of deal to, you know, a complicated deal to bring to come up in the next week or two. You know, there are ways to negotiate this out. But until now, the two sides haven't been talking. The Democrats have said, you need to talk to us. And the Republicans have said no.
Okay, so in the event of a shutdown, anything that is considered non-essential is basically put on ice, put on hold. What would that mean for government programs like Medicare and Medicaid?
Well, Medicare and Medicaid are what are called mandatory programs that are not affected by a government. But this is a shutdown because the appropriations are lapsing and they're not subject to annual appropriations. Other things like drug reviews at the FDA are funded by user fees, so they're not impacted. Okay. But a lot of the people who run these programs are impacted. So it may be difficult to get help. You won't be able to sign up necessarily for Medicare. You won't be able to reach anybody on the phone. Lots and lots of major health programs will be affected and will shut down at least temporarily. People who are required to work will be required to work without pay. Other people will be furloughed. This administration has raised the possibility of permanently firing people who are deemed, quote, non-essential. That's never happened before. So we're definitely in unprecedented territory.
Julie, thank you so much for your reporting and this update.
Thank you.
Julie Rovner is chief Washington correspondent for KFF Health News. She hosts the weekly health policy podcast called What the Health. And she was with us to share the latest from U.S. Senate negotiations over expiring Affordable Care Act tax credits that could cause Wisconsin health insurance premiums to spike.